Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Brewers with the off day yesterday. The Cubs did play a makeup game against the Angels where they made them fly cross country and then they beat them up, and now the Angels fly back to the West Coast, but the Cubs get the victory there. So it's a one-game lead for the Brewers in the division. Brewers schedule in June a little bit, we'll say, softer than it was April and May. So some opportunity. Cubs have a tough schedule coming up. So some opportunity to make some headway in the NL Central. They're going to do it for the meantime without Keston Hira, who was sent down to make way for Travis Shaw, who will be back up here tonight. Craig Kishon, you can follow him on the pre and post during the games. Fox Sports Wisconsin, he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As always, Craig, a pleasure. How are you?
Hey, Craig.
I'm very well. How are you boys doing?
Oh, we're doing all right. We're doing all right. Now, you know, we're just mulling over this Keston Hira deal, getting sent down to AAA. I think we all kind of knew this was happening. What do you think the organization's, by bringing up Shaw and giving him another crack at it, what do you think their way of thinking is here?
Well, you know, I think when you look at this, you know, the most obvious thing stands out on the headline that, you know, Shaw's coming back. But I think, you know, the sub-headline should be Jesus Aguilar also remains. And I think part of this story should really include the fact that both of these guys heading into the month of June are still getting a chance to be who they were, you know, in the last year or two. And I think that's exactly what the team is doing right now. They're basically saying to these two guys, their corner infielders, this is probably your last chance to stay on this club right now. Because if you don't start hitting, you don't start producing, there won't be room for you down the stretch. I mean, through everything that's happened in the first 3 months of this season, one way or the other, this team is in first place going into their June 4th game and has the second-best record in the National League. And you know, they have a little bit of a comfort zone because of that, right? These guys a final chance to produce. And what better way to go into the final 3 months and to have, you know, Travis Shaw to hit like we know he can, and the same for Jesus Aguilar right now. So pressure's on these guys. And, you know, the pressure was never on Hero when he came up. He just came up and did his thing. He probably knew at some point he was going to go back down when Shaw was ready. But, you know, pressure's on the major leaguers who have been there before. And they've got to figure it out, and they know that.
Talking with Craig Kishon, Fox Sports Wisconsin, you can catch them pretty much every game. They'll have that on their airwaves for the Brewers. As far as how much of a leash they get, do you think that the Brewers, do you think that they have a timeline? Like, we got to see Aguilar do this in this amount of time or Shaw in this amount of time? Because I think you're trying to do all these things, and you're trying to keep the roster as large as possible with having 25 up here, but really having the 40 and using that to your advantage. But you're also competing for the NL Central crown again to win the division, to get that buy into the playoffs, to try to get to where you were last year. I think this is a move, Craig, that's easier to justify maybe if you're not competing than if you are. How much of a leash do you think the Brewers will go into this for Shaw and Zeus?
Well, I mean, that's part of that $64,000 question, but you know, really good points. But you know, we're at the point of the season too, where they have about 6 or 7 weeks to decide what to do with this roster as a whole before the trade deadline at the end of July. And this is a little bit different scenario for all the clubs now as the rule changes. You can't make any more trades for your club after that July 31st trade deadline anymore. And so they have a lot more to think about now than maybe they would throughout the month of August. So that luxury's out the window. So I would say, you know, your lease rate now is, you know, bottom line is you just have to produce. And I don't think, you know, if the club starts, you know, not offensively producing on a consistent basis and these guys have something to do with that, then you have to take a, you know, really strong look at what's going on and how to make some changes, you know, from that standpoint. But, you know, winning cures everything, but these guys have to produce. There's no question about that. And I think their window, you know, to me might be just this next three or so weeks, whatever's left in the month of June, and or sooner, and see what happens. Because then, you know, the Brewers have to start looking in July at how to improve this roster. I mean, they're continuing to do that. We all know that. But, you know, do they need to add, you know, a frontline starting pitcher somehow? Are you know, do they make a trade with current major league players right now? Aguilar obviously doesn't have options, but he's tradable if he starts hitting and they feel comfortable doing something else at first base. But, you know, that's how I look at the leash anyway. The leash is relatively short in a matter of, you know, probably a few weeks for these guys.
Do you think they're still mystified as to why Yelich Cien hasn't turned it around at all?
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, a mystery at this point for sure. You know, I mean, he's been around the league for a long time, and you know, he hasn't had these kind of results, you know, that have been this bad. So, you know, obviously this injured list, you know, with the back issue is going to give him a chance to, you know, just completely stop for a few days and reset. And, you know, clubs do different things with players, whether they're young or they're veterans and been around. They'll do everything they possibly can to help this guy. I mean, look what he did for them last year down the stretch. You need veteran pitching to carry your club. And, you know, this you know, starting rotation is, it's almost stunning from when we saw it on opening day compared to where it is right now and who's producing and who's your frontline guys and that type of thing right now. So it's still a work in progress. And what we see right now is obviously going to be different moving forward starting tomorrow when Jimmy Nelson comes back, because you don't know what you're going to get with him at the major league level right now, having not pitched in nearly 2 years here. Could he be, you know, your big addition? Or, you know, if he can't come through, then, you know, where else do you go from here? So, yeah, Chassin's definitely a mystery, but they're in a good spot right now because they can afford to simply stop and you know, reset them, and hopefully that will do the trick.
What do you think, as we talk to Craig Kishon here, Fox Sports Wisconsin, maybe your expectations and what you think the Brewers' expectations might be on Jimmy Nelson? I mean, this is a guy who for 2 years, I feel bad for him because every time he says he's ready, there's another setback. And then at the on-deck event, he's like, I'm gonna start opening day. And David Stearns is like, oh, boy, what are we going to do with this? But here he is. He's ready to go on Wednesday. I don't think they expect him to come and be the 2017 ace that he was. But you want to talk about the guys that have the chance to figure out if they belong in the big leagues. This is a big moment for the Brewers tomorrow, Craig.
Well, you know, it is, and I don't think the expectations for him, you know, are anything more than to go out and pitch and see what you got. I mean, if he gets blown up, you know, hey, they're going to say that's one start. They're going to evaluate, you know, his arm. They're going to evaluate, you know, his mental aspect, his physical aspect, all that stuff they need to evaluate and say, you know, we're going to put him out there again. He needs another test. Or he could come out tomorrow and pitch four really strong innings, and they're comfortable with that, and they pull him, and then all of a sudden now you've got some real positive things to go with. But I don't think at all, and in fact since that injury, I don't think this organization at all has put any expectations on Jimmy Nelson's return. I think, A, they were hoping he'd return, and he obviously is in a position to do that now. and B, let's just see what you got. I don't think really beyond that, it's pretty simple with him. He's healthy enough. He's returned. He's got a tremendous ambition and goal to succeed. We've all seen that. And now let's go out and see what he can do tomorrow night. So, you know, if he's a bonus, great. They'll take it. If it doesn't work out, you know, they have to move on.
Yeah. I think I'm waiting for this team just to get on a little bit of a roll. They haven't really done that since early in the season. They've been playing some good ball. They're still in first place. But I'm telling you, like a big-time roll. The Cubs haven't really been on that roll yet, and neither are the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, really, in the National League, really the Dodgers are about the only team that's been, you know, really hot. And there's a separation right now between the Dodgers and everyone else in the National League. But then you look at who your division leaders are right now and, you know, look at what they've gone through. And, the Brewers have, you know, had to deal with some nagging injuries to some guys. They've had to deal with some failures, obviously, with some guys, whether it's pitchers or position players. And so those things kind of take away the ability to get hot. I mean, you know, getting hot means everyone's producing at an above average level right now. And I think collectively, in a long stretch of games, it obviously hasn't happened with this club yet. But, you know, it's still amazing to me to again say, here we are on June 4th and this club's in first place. And so you have to look deep into the guts of this organization and say, you know, they've got the right makeup. They've got a lot of right people. It's just putting them in place at the right times to either fill gaps or, you know, to go out there and do your thing, man. Let's see what happens, I guess, moving forward. But I still really like where this organization is going, and they haven't made, you know, any potential moves yet. I mean, I think there's a move or two to make here before the end of July, that's for sure.
Craig, you've been maybe at Miller Park a little less this summer than in years past because of the work that you were doing with the Bucks and covering that team. And we saw them go up 2-0, and then very quickly it seemed like that series ended in favor of the Raptors. You've covered, you know, Wisconsin sports a long time. So, all the agony that we talk about the Brewers getting so close, the Bucks getting so close, the Packers, the Badgers even. Like, for Wisconsin sports fans, what advice do you have for fans to, you know, keep on rooting for these teams even though they continually let you down? And I'm almost asking you to give me advice because, man, this is getting exhausting. We get so close and then no title.
Well, I hear where you're coming from, man, and I feel your pain because, like you said, I've been in the state my whole life, and I've had the luxury of covering, you know, these teams for, 19 years now, these two specific teams for Fox Sports. And I look at it this way, just to look and see what has transpired from the end of May of 2018 to now. It's been nonstop. High performance, high energy, high entertainment. It's been a really, really fun ride that these two teams have put this city on, especially in Milwaukee. And you just have to look at that and enjoy it. I mean, part of sports is, yes, you want to win a championship, but, you know, the large part of sports is enjoying the ride. And, you know, when it comes down to the final, you know, playoff runs for these teams, whether it's October or it's May or June. I mean, a whole season and a whole, you know, level of enjoyment is comes down to a day or two or a 3-hour span. And it's sometimes hard to get over that when they don't win it. But bottom line is, look where they got. And I really believe that, you know, the Brewers are here to stay. And I really believe the Bucks are here to stay as well. You know, the challenges for both teams are to continue to find, you know, the right fit players. I mean, you just can't go out and pluck players and put them in these organizations. You got to find the right fit. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But continuing to do that, and I really think when you look deep, you got to believe in the game plan that they've put together and the blueprint that they've helped organize for these franchises. And I really believe that, you know, there's there's plenty left out there, and there's still opportunities because, you know, especially with the Bucks at this point, if you have Giannis on your team and you find that second right fit for him, I'm not sure that second right fit has been there yet, but if you really find that second right fit for him, I say look out.
Craig, appreciate the time. As always, we will see you at the ballpark. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks for having me, guys. See you later.
Craig Kishon joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. I nearly followed up with a Middleton question, but I think that if you want to listen to our Middleton conversations, we put all our shows on demand, right?
What'd you want to ask about Middleton?
Well, he said that he didn't think that there was a second right fit yet.
Oh, he left the door open on that one, yeah. He said that you don't think Middleton is a... We kind of alluded to Middleton. Yeah. Hmm. We'll find out here in the next couple of weeks.
It matters what John Horst thinks.
Yeah.
Which apparently he's going to join us on the show soon.
Next week. Efforting him, sure. We're going to get him on.
Yeah.
And he's going to tell us exactly what he's going to do with Chris Middleton.
He's going to tell us every move.
Yeah.
He's going to tell us why he cut Christian Wood for Paul Gasol.
Yeah.
He's going to tell us why Coach Bud didn't play DJ Wilson or Tony Snell in the playoffs. And well
that's that's not his. That's Bud's decision on that one, though.
Well, if you're a GM, you called on to your coach, say, I need you to play my guy.
Oh, no. No, the coach is going to play who he wants to play. The GM's not going to say, well, you got to play this guy. I mean, it's like George Steinbrenner here. No, I mean, that's why Bud is there. But if Bud is going to, if the GM is going to tell Bud who to play, Bud's going to be like, no, there ain't nobody going to want to play for Hurst. You know, he's a horse isn't going to hire anybody if a horse is telling him. No, the GM, he controls the players, and they work together. But, you know, Bud knows way more about basketball than anybody in that organization.
Do you like the NBA right now?
Yeah, I like it. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night.
Do you like baseball right now?
Yes.
Do you like football?
Sure.
Do you think, like, it used to be better back then?
No, I'm not one of those guys.
You're not?
No.
Because I want to, we put this up on...
I think it's been fine all along.
Well, we put this up on Facebook and Twitter as far as what the best... Are we in the best era of any sport?
In our city or
just
overall?
Of the sport.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of complaining. You know, the NFL, a lot of people are complaining about the way that penalties are called. The NBA, people complain that the season's too long and boring. The MLB, people complain that it's, you know, watered down, is not as good as it used to be.
Let's go over the big three.
We'll do that.
We'll do that next.
So we'll go over NBA, NFL, and MLS.
Soccer, of course. I knew you were going to say it. Predictable. Right? I got you figured out, Winkler. I knew you were going to drop that on me. I know what your next move is going to make before you even make it. I got you figured.
Just do your whatever.
I got you figured.
Come on.
I knew it.
Leave me alone.
Baseball team is back home. Great grilling out weather at Miller Park. And you need to stop at Robert's Specialty Meats.
God, I hate the MLS, though, dude. I hate it.
Oh, I just hate when you mention it. I hate when, like, well, we're talking about the big sports, and you're like, oh, we're talking about soccer. Ooh.
Well, they keep expanding the league.
Keep going back and forth on that, and I say, oh, soccer sucks.
You can't throw more than 3,000 in Chicago.
Respects, boxer,
yeah, you're buying five more teams. It's a Ponzi scheme. Go ahead.
I don't know anything about it, so spitting in the wind there.
Yeah.
Robert's Specialty Meats, tailgating at Miller Park, perfect. Robert's Specialty Meats and Robert's Ribs on a Stick. Man, the ribs on a stick, boneless pork ribs marinated in that good old tangy barbecue sauce. How about the equally popular marinated chicken skewers and the barbecue garlic parmesan or Door County cherry flavors? Man, Robert's Specialty Meats, the hand-cut steaks, the beef brisket burgers, the half-pound beef brisket burgers, or any one of their flavored burgers. Man, they are gourmet style. And I'll tell you, they got everything there for you. The steaks, the brats, 30 varieties of sausages and brats, including the Al Capone Italian sausage. Hey, man, if you're at a golf outing, you know what that Al Capone Italian sausage is about. It's just bursting with zesty flavor. Call them today, 262-549-MEAT, for the best selection. Reserve your order, or better yet, stop on out. Paul and his staff, wonderful customer service, very friendly. They'll tell you how to grill this stuff up. It's all good to go. Man, Robert's Specialty Meats, south side of Waukesha, Sunset Drive. hey, they aren't predictable at all. But what is predictable is their customer service and their good quality meats, high quality meats, at Robert's Specialty Meats, south side of town in Waukesha. For the best in meats, for all your grilling out this entire summer, and for this week with all the sports on TV, get some good old-fashioned grilling out to go along with it. It's Robert's Specialty Meats, Sunset Drive in Waukesha, your hometown butcher.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. From the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios, I'm Bart Winkler. Feast your eyes and ears on the legendary Chuck Freeman and Ryan Horvath here as well. Your Twitter Tuesday question is, what's one thing about our job that you would want to experience, and what's one thing about your job that you would want someone else to experience? You can tweet that at 105.7 FM, the fan, use the hashtag CWLunch. You'll win a pack of $20 to Perkins. You'll win a pair of general admission Summerfest tickets, and you'll win tickets to see the Violent Femmes. They play Thursday at the Riverside. A lot of the answers coming in are either, I want to go in the locker room that you guys do, or I want to see what it's like off the air. I could tell you off the air that Horvat's been, he's watching it right now. He's sucked into this tennis match between Federer and who?
Wawrinka, some guy he's like 13-2 against.
So that's the guy who's chasing gambling money because he's betting on tennis because he can't wait for baseball this afternoon.
Yeah, we've got no afternoon games; it's all night games.
We've got all these duties that Horvath must do. We've got guys from other shows calling in to do their work for him, and Horvath's sitting here watching tennis on his phone.
It's called triple tasking, actually.
So you have Federer?
I do,
and you're hanging in there.
Yeah, he took the first one. It's kind of back and forth right now. So really, no new update right now. It's just kind of back and forth. This guy that he's facing, so Federer is like a -260 favorite, but he's lost to this guy twice in his career, and one of the times was on this exact territory, and the guy ended up winning the tournament. So back and forth. Not the biggest tennis guy, but like you said, Chuck, I was chasing a little bit.
You seem to know a lot about it.
He watched the tennis channel.
Yeah, Federer lost serve for the third time already.
We've all been
tournament.
There.
A little worried.
Well, I told you one time I bet on Andre Agassi, and he was like -1600. He was going against some schluff, -60. I was just like looking for something to bet on.
Yeah.
And boy, I was like sweating it out. I was like, this unknown guy who would, you know, just like off of like the Princeton Club was challenging Andre Agassi, and Agassi nearly lost to the guy at the U.S. Open.
I still don't get why you bet when the odds are that astronomical.
You know what? More times than not, that's like the most successful I've been.
But if you bet 100, you're only winning like $16.
Lay a bigger amount of money on it.
Oh, okay. That's what you got. Bigger. So even if you bet $1,000, you're only winning $150. What's the point?
$150
or whatever the odds are. I don't have time to.
If you're on $1,600, you're getting $100. But I mean, rarely do I go down that road.
When you're chasing, you're chasing.
But if you're like -700,
I guess every 100 counts.
Any little chunk, yeah.
If you're going -700 on something, I mean, rarely does that lose. But what does lose, you take a bath. But you just hope you pick the right ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to make up for my Bruins loss last night. I was pretty confident that the Bruins were going to win that one, and they didn't. They fell 4-2.
St. Louis never had lost or had never won a Stanley Cup final game on their home ice.
Yep.
And they did it last night.
I can't root for anything that comes from St. Louis. Like, I hate St. Louis.
So you're going to go Boston?
I would go Boston over St. Louis. Yeah, we've kind of talked about my hidden love for Boston. Like, I hate the sports teams, but I love the movie The Town and The Departed, so I've always kind of wanted to be from Boston.
Thank God the Bucks took care of the Celtics, because we could have had a year where the Red Sox, Patriots, Bruins, and Celtics all won a title.
Brutal.
I mean, could you even believe that?
Yeah, terrible.
We're desperate. We're talking to Craig Kishon about how much misery we've had here in the last 20 years that he's been covering the teams. The city of Milwaukee's got two titles in a century plus. And Boston could have had four in a calendar year.
Well, Harvey, you and I have been betting back and forth on Golden State and Toronto.
Right. What are you thinking?
Well, I see Golden State's a 6-point favorite tomorrow night.
I want Toronto with the points and the Warriors with the money line.
Oh, you're going both ways?
Well, that's what I'm going
to.
That's
those
what
are
I'm
hard
gonna,
to win.
That's
aren't
what
they?
I'm going to advise my buddy that lives in Illinois, so now he can legally place this wager. I'm going to tell him to do that for himself, not for me. This is all just for.
Is
fun.
That immediately? Can they start doing that right away?
No, I think oh. he's. I think they have to wait. Still.
I mean, like if you go both ways on it, I mean that's just tough.
I'll take. I'll go Warriors if you want to. If you want to go double or nothing on that bad boy.
Yeah, let's take. Let's revisit this tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll take the Warriors. Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit yeah. more tomorrow. But so you guys would actually prefer a team from Boston to win over St. Louis? Because I just can't do it because of
no,
the years
I'd rather
of punishment
have St.
from
Louis.
The Cardinals.
I'd rather have St. Louis win this.
Oh no.
Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
I don't.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I do not care, but I would, if I could pick.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'd rather have St. Louis than Boston.
One more Boston team winning. I don't want to see that.
But like, Boston didn't ruin
and
my
St.
childhood.
St. Louis
the
lost
Cardinals
the Rams,
did.
Dude. Like, good. St. Louis, they lost a team.
Boston, they're in the American League. They never bothered me growing up. I was always like, sure, you know, whatever. Do what you want.
I sympathize with those that lose teams.
All right.
I think every city, except the big ones, have lost teams, haven't they? I mean, look, everybody has lost teams. Minnesota's lost.
The Dodgers moved from New York to L.A. They lost a team.
Yeah.
New York.
Yeah, you're right. Brooklyn. Yeah. Brooklyn Dodgers. They want to move a team out west.
The Chicago Cardinals moved to St. Louis.
Sure.
So, sure.
Yeah, Minnesota. The Lakers moved from Minneapolis to Los Angeles.
That's very correct.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We lost the Hawks to St. Louis.
Yeah.
We lost a basketball team to St. Louis.
Yeah, we lost the Milwaukee Does, too.
Yeah, they just kind of vanished.
Yeah.
You forget about the Does. People forget about them.
We lost them and no one caring about whatever league that was. So we do talk a lot about, you know, back in the day stuff. And if you want to know what goes on behind the scenes, we've been talking a lot off the air about the kind of eras that we're in now and if any of them are the best. So why not ask you guys? And we put up some tweets and Facebook at 105.7 FM. The Fan, always welcome to chime in at 799-1250. Are we in the best era of any sport right now?
I mean, I like that instant replay is in every sport because you can kind of get the call right. You don't think you're going to get screwed on a call. So I like the fact that that's involved. But, I mean, we'd have to go through each sport, and I'm fine. I don't have any problem. I'm not one of these guys that said, wow, baseball was so much better in the 70s. One thing I do wish baseball had, the only thing I'd change is the salary cap. I think baseball needs a salary cap badly because the salaries are so out of whack between the big markets and the small markets that how that is the only major sport that doesn't have a salary cap is a joke.
But don't they essentially have a salary cap? Because, like, look at the Chicago Cubs situation. It's like, well, there's no salary cap. You're in the number three market on the planet, and you still don't have money to go get Craig Kimbrel.
But
like,
their payroll is, what, $200 million?
Well, right. I mean, and it's, what, the fourth highest yeah. in baseball. But it's like even the Yankees, it's always like, well, we don't have the assets. And it's like, you don't have the assets.
Sure,
you're the Yankees. What are you talking about? So that's just what I agree and also disagree at the same time with baseball.
But they can afford to outbid. Like
right.
They can afford for Yu Darvish to be bad.
Right.
Yeah, the Brewers can't get...
would cripple the Brewers.
Sure well, would. The Cubs really couldn't afford Yu Darvish to be bad because if they weren't paying Yu Darvish and Jason Hayward, you have to figure they'd have Jake Arrieta and Bryce Harper, though. So you could afford it, but you also can't. Like, you...
But they just,
do you know what I'm saying, though?
The Cubs, they just can't go get a better asset. The
I'm
Brewers,
with you, though.
The Brewers would have to charge $40 a hot dog if they had Yu Darvish struggle.
Right, like if Yelich and Kane sucked, they'd be screwed, right?
Like, when the Brewers had Teddy Higuera, they signed him for 3 years, $9 million. Now, that's expensive at the time, back in the 90s.
Yeah.
That didn't work out, but that crippled them for years.
Right. So that's the thing that you would change, if anything, in sports today?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that baseball, I mean, that's never going to change, but baseball needs a salary cap.
All right, so are we in the best era of the MLB?
No.
See, I've been going through, I do this from time to time, I've been going through my trading cards again and trying to decide what I'm going to keep and then what I'm going to just get rid of and then what I'm going to throw away.
Yeah.
I'm talking like commons. So if you want any commons from the 80s or 90s, the overproduced no-namers.
Bring them in.
I will give you boxes of those.
Bring them in. I'll take them.
There are no hidden gems. They all suck.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll take them.
For what reason?
I'll take them. Because I'm looking for some commons to fill out some sets.
Oh, you are? Well, these are, you know, like, scuffed up and stuff.
Oh, I mean, all of them?
A lot.
How did they get scuffed up sitting in... How did they all get scuffed up sitting in your basement?
Well, from, you know, I throw them into a box, and then when I put them in the pages, I jam them in there.
Oh.
You know.
I could bring in a Beckett magazine, and we could go through the worth on some of these bad boys, like in
their
scratch.
No, the Beckett magazines, you don't get... It's the buyer set the price, not Beckett.
Yeah.
All right, I put a few cards on eBay. I put an old Ernie Banks on eBay, and it's like creased the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I put it up for $2. No bids.
What year?
What year is it? I think it's a 58.
See, there was a time. You would have got maybe $20 for that card.
More, maybe even.
Yeah.
58, Ernie Banks.
You'd had a career. Damn. Is that his MVP?
I mean, but it is scuffed up.
Like, I used to
offer. Might even be his rookie.
I offered my soul for an Andrew Jones rookie card, a Chipper Jones rookie card, and a Ken Griffey Jr. I ended up getting the Chipper Jones. I always wanted the Chipper Jones rookie card because he came up as a shortstop. And, like, back then, I thought it was so crazy that they transitioned
58 Ernie Banks.
Baseman.
$280?
$2.80.
What's it valued at?
Like, in mint condition, it's valued at like $20,000.
What?
Really?
Oh, but it is scuffed up. Oh, yeah, it's disaster.
So it's
off cut. If you try to sell an old card, it has to be like perfect.
So it's valued at $20,000. Now, do you look at that card and say, man, this card's worth $20,000, but I got to sell it for $250 on eBay.
Because all the corners are messed up. It's cut wrong.
Yeah.
It's just messed up. Yeah, it's messed up. Anyway, I'm not like going to put my eBay out there because I'm selling some real embarrassing stuff, but. If you search for an Ernie Banks card, you can
probably find it.
I mean, I'm selling some real embarrassing stuff.
Like some chaps or something?
Like what? Basically anything in my house that I'm not going to throw away. Anyway.
Well, that doesn't tell me anything. Like, what are you selling?
I mean, that's a homework assignment. If you want to go figure that out, that's up to you.
Okay.
We'll find your name and we'll reveal it on Twitter. Yeah.
So back to what you're talking about, baseball. I'd say the baseball, I would change the salary cap. I would just change the... I would implement a salary cap.
So with looking at the cards, I think the best era of baseball was like 80s and 90s.
80s?
Like George Brett, Wade Boggs. These are all my guys. Or Hershiser, the Bash Brothers.
You like George Brett?
Really? That's your era?
Which, yeah, if you haven't seen that thing on Netflix yet.
But George Brett was before you were born.
George Brett played in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I saw George Brett play.
I mean, George Brett was at the end of... I think his last year was 92, but he was at the end of his career.
Yeah, we were alive. We're not, like,
right. And even if we weren't alive, I can... Like, I know who Jim Rice is.
Okay.
I know who Steve Carlton is.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I was just looking something up, but Steve Carlton just came up on Google for some reason today. And I was like, man, I haven't heard that name in years.
Do you want some Steve Carlton cards?
Lefty?
I'll give you a guy
who didn't like talking to the media.
You want some of those?
So your era of the 80s and 90s, yeah, bring some of those cards in. Bring them in.
You gonna buy any?
Bring them in.
Oh, are you gonna? You're telling me you're gonna give them to me, and now you want to sell them to me? What is it?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay,
I'll give you this Ernie Banks card for $3.
Mm. Okay, thanks.
$3?
Yeah.
However you buy it,
I will actually for $3. Bring that in tomorrow.
It's scuffed up. Yeah. It's off cut.
Yeah, I see it. I'll take it.
It's a mess.
I'll take it. I'll give it to my kid and tell him about the glory days of Ernie Banks, who I never saw play the game.
Are we in the best era of the NBA?
I think if you put that poll up, 90% of people would say yes. Even like old school guys, where I would think that they would say no, and they would agree with me that the 90s were the best ever. Everybody says today, and I agree, like the athletes, the players are better. They're bigger, stronger, faster, they're more athletic, they're better scorers, they could leap higher, they could run faster. But I liked the NBA in the 90s better. Well, everybody stuck with their teams, nobody got along, no buddy-buddy.
Well, here's what I don't like about today's era. It's too dependent on a three-point shot. You watched Toronto the other night. It's every shot, boom. I mean, they're bricking. Three, getting an offensive rebound, kicking it out. Three, 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 three. Countless threes that they're missing, and it's like, God, is that bad, bad. When those threes aren't going in, it looks horrendous.
I like the NBA because I like a lot of the off. I think social media, while it's been terrible for our society, has been great for the NBA. It's made the NBA more interesting. You see who guys are liking different Instagram posts, and you see just a lot of that kind of stuff. I like today's NBA. I'm as wrapped up into it as ever for the player movement, for the on-court stuff. The argument that I don't want to hear is, well, they don't play defense. I mean, Toronto is where they are because of defense.
Well, in the postseason,
Golden State, that big run was because of defense. Now, if you're fatigued with the 82-game schedule and how teams can take nights off and then float into the playoffs.
That's the problem, because you're not going to see that type of defense in the regular season.
But that's always been there.
You know, there's been a theory. But you know,
I mean, were the Pistons and Bulls going all out in regular season games in 1987?
Well, that's why the NBA season might be too long, just like baseball season.
But I think when people say, oh, back in the day, they remember the playoffs, whereas now we like remember the regular season. Like, nobody remembers the 87 regular season. When you remember the bad boys against Jordan, you remember
the playoff series. Today, too, you don't remember the regular season. When you look back on this Bucks season.
But if you're going to come with the argument they don't play any defense, you're saying that because of the regular season. And in your head, you've seen, you know, the NBA and NBC, Jordan, and
you look at
100 times.
You look at the scores back in the 80s, they were 125 to 123. Yeah, you had high scores.
I feel like the presentation was just better in the 90s. Like, I feel like every game felt bigger in the playoffs. I don't know. Like, maybe it's the conference finals, the fact that they were on NBC. Marv Albert was younger and better, and we didn't know how weird he was yet at the time. But I just feel like the presentation, everything was, like, a lot bigger. Like, I'd wake up on Saturday mornings for NBA Inside Stuff with Ahmad Rashad. I'd be so excited.
Yeah, but you grew up watching Michael Jordan play.
That's what I'm saying. It was just like the Chicago Bulls, like at that time, and even like the Utah Jazz with Stockton and Malone, like it felt like they were like the Beatles, like they were the biggest rock stars on the planet. Because maybe because you didn't have all the access, like this team was winning 72 games and you didn't really know what was going on behind the scenes. Like, I remember when I found out Michael Jordan was kind of a jerk because I wanted to meet him and I wanted to get his autograph, and I would have to pay $150, not even meet him, and his handler would bring it over to me. I was like, man. That was a blow.
Well, but you can go down the line of NBA players who are like that.
Right. In the 90s, now everybody's actually pretty approachable and nice, to tell you the truth.
Footsie Walker at 5'8".
Like, yeah. You can't meet Jordan, but here's Judd Bushler. You want to shoot some jumpers with him? Yeah, sure. Why not?
So I'm going to say, I like today's era NBA. I think for baseball, I'm 80s, 90s. Chuck, where are you?
Well, I mean, our teams have been bad for so long, but I'm...
It's the best for the sport.
I think for the sport... I probably like the 70s
for
baseball. 70s for baseball. I would say today's NBA, I just wish that, you know, I wasn't so dependent on the three-point arc. I like the 90s.
What about you, Horvat?
90s NBA was my favorite era. As far as Major League Baseball, I'd have to go 90s as well. I mean, I was a big Ken Griffey Jr. guy, Chipper Jones. I liked the players. I feel like Major League Baseball, I don't know if you guys agree with this, they did a better job at marketing their players in the 90s, whether it was just like the chicks dig the long ball slogan. Yeah. You know, I did, call me crazy, I know it's probably not healthy and not great for me to say, but the steroid era was a lot of fun, man.
I'm talking early 90s because I quit baseball from 94 to 98. I didn't watch a game.
Well, that was like the dead ball era in Milwaukee because nobody was going to games.
I didn't watch until the home run chase brought me back in, which is why for the millionth time I will say I am pro-steroid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, let people wreck their bodies.
It was every day, like, you would have to watch because you'd be like, is McGuire going to homer? Is Sosa going to homer? How the hell is Brady Anderson, who hit 8 homers last year as a leadoff man, hitting 50 this season, you know?
How did it take us so long to figure that out, though?
I think we all knew.
Because we all wanted back, because they went on strike. We were all kind of disenchanted.
This is back in your era with Jose Canseco.
It's like if you're growing up and you got a really hot girlfriend and she's maybe like running around town and you're in high school and you're like, I'll just forgive it because I got to bring her to the dance. Well, she's really good looking.
See, like in the 70s, nobody weightlifted. And then Canseco came around in the mid-80s and here was this guy with muscles coming out of his ears and hitting home runs. And you were like, huh. And they were doing the steroid chants for Canseco when he played at the... When Oakland was playing at Yankee Stadium, they would do this. But people joked about it.
Yeah.
They say steroids. People just joked about it. And then after a while, I was like, huh, maybe the steroid thing is real.
NFL, I do like the 90s.
Well, here's what. See, 70s and 80s, passing was not a part of football until Bill Walsh introduced it. It was like 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And then finally, the West Coast offense came in, and you saw San Francisco throwing the ball all around the yard and some big scores.
I like when San Fran and Dallas and Green Bay were all fighting to be good.
In the 90s, yeah.
I liked all that. Now it's just like the Patriots and then random NFC team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I still like the NFL today. Thought the NFL was at its best probably, well, I mean, here in Wisconsin, definitely the 90s. That was such a great run in the 90s. I mean, those games with Dallas that they'd go down there and lose, finally got over the hump. They should have won 2 Super Bowls, but the 90s, I would say, with Brett Favre.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. 90s, did you say NFL 90s?
Absolutely, man. Just Favre. Favre. Just watching him go out there always beat up.
Destroying the Bears every week.
Great run. And not only, you know, and obviously we had the best run with the Packers, but I kind of liked watching the Cowboys, like Emmitt Smith. Running backs actually mattered.
Yeah. Plus, you had Madden and Summerall, dude.
Randy Moss, I mean, even though we hated the Vikings, like, we started to get, like, the freaks of nature, like, guys that we'd never seen, like, 6'5", 6'6", receivers that could run 4.3s. Like, we hadn't seen that, really.
We can take your thoughts on this, 799-1250, read some comments, and then there's a new baseball team in Wisconsin, if only for a day, with a little bit of a rated R graphic, if you ask some people. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Father's Day is coming up, just a couple short weeks away. I always come up with gifts for Mom. How about a gift for Dad? How about a gift that he actually will use? Okay, how about a gift that he will like? And how about a gift that won't break the bank? How about a gift that's all three? Check out Harry's Razors. You can do this with our friends at Harry's and get quality, durable blades at honest prices, just about $2 each for the blade. Harry has a special offer for fathers this Father's Day. Get $5 off a Harry's shave set and treat yourself or the special dad in your life to a five-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover. Use the code BART when you go to harrys.com. I've been using Harry's now for a couple of years. Always gets me a smooth shave. I do like to keep the beard a little bit, but the rest of the face, the neck, it's really bad. And in the past, I would use razors. I would pay up for razors. I thought I was paying for a better razor. I was just paying because it was designed more fancy. And then my neck would all, I mean, it would hurt. It'd be, I mean, you've been there. Harry's, I don't have that problem. Check them out. Again, honest prices. This Father's Day, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of the show. Get $5 off a shave set from Harry's with the code BART, B-A-R-T, at harrys.com. You can get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 and free shipping when you use the code BART, B-A-R-T, at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today. Use the code BART at checkout and claim your own. My soul. But they tell me to focus on the game, Mark. Lord knows I'm trying, and I never leave the shower, so they never see me crying. Just a scared little boy in the body of a giant, a freak show of science. But then my friend says, you're the man, JC. You're the man, Big Mac. You're the only one who knows what it truly means to be. So I've told you about the Lonely Island before. Comedy group Andy Samberg. You may know him from SNL. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they did they didn't tell anyone they were doing this, and then on Netflix, they put out a 30-minute like video poem where it's a bunch of music songs, and Samberg is Jose Canseco, and another guy is Mark McGuire, and they do 30 minutes of songs about how they don't want to get caught for taking steroids and about how they're chasing women in the 80s, and it's 30 minutes, and it's on Netflix.
The Bash Brothers?
Yeah, and I love it. So that's a thing that I would recommend you guys watch. Now, it's a lot of Lonely Island at once. If you're a Lonely Island fan, it is a lot at once, but really good. So even if you're an Oakland A's fan, Chuck, of the 80s, you can go ahead and watch that.
Boy, those teams were some good teams. They should have won more than they did. I think they won one World Series in 89, but they should have won a hell of a lot more than that.
Talking about those cards that I had some Jose Canseco cards, and I took them in to a guy named that card. In Tulsa. So I took him in there, and I had all these Jose Canseco rookies. He goes, back in the day, you could have got 100 for these easy.
Oh, I know.
So he said, why don't we just see if anyone buys them? And the next time I stopped, and he goes, well, you sold one. Some guy bought it for $5 as a joke. And I said, hey,
yeah,
just move the card, man.
You know, I used to do this. When I collected cards, I would buy like a ton of players who I thought were going to be potential stars, like Joe Charbonneau, got off to a big start with the Cleveland Indians, won Rookie of the Year in 1980. I bought a bunch of Joe Charbonneaus for like 2 cents a piece. Guy ended up back in the minor leagues the following year and never got called up to the majors ever again. So I got at home probably about 150 Joe Charbonneaus that, you know, I bought for 2 cents a piece.
Well, my dad would collect all these rookies of McGuire and Canseco and all these guys, and they were good, but the problem was there's no return on them because of the steroid era. And then the cards were overproduced in the 80s and 90s. So if you've got cards like in that era, like I have a ton of, they ain't worth nothing.
Well, it's like when they expanded, because it used to be just Topps. Well, back in the 50s, there were Fleer and Dunross, and then just Topps. And then when everybody started making cards, it's like, where do you stop? I mean, there's so many different brands. But Topps, when Topps were the only ones making baseball cards for a while, 70s and 80s, I think that's when they were at their value of cards were at their highest.
Did you hear about the Wisconsin Udder Tuggers?
No.
Are you familiar with this?
No.
The Timber Rattlers, you know how baseball teams have these promotions, like it's Wacky Night, but now now major league teams started doing it. So the Brewers had Game of Thrones night, and they have Stranger Thing night this weekend. So now, to go one step further, minor league teams are completely changing their whole brand for select games. So a little bit later this summer, the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers will change their name and their jersey to the Wisconsin Udder Tuggers. And the logo is a cow that looks mean.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got an udder hanging off of, you know, his crotch with the four little things.
So what's the purpose of doing that?
To get us to mention
their jerseys?
Rattlers right now.
Yeah.
And to talk about it. So this is their new way. It's to highlight June Dairy Month, really, is what they're saying. But there will be a day later this month where the Rattlers are the Udder Tuggers. So you've got them and the Milwaukee Milkmen.
Which are playing right over here in Franklin.
Eventually.
Yeah.
They've started their season on the road for a bunch of games because that stadium's not done.
Yeah.
So there's milk teams all over the place for Dairy Month here in Wisconsin. One other Rattler note I wanted to bring up to you. Did you know that, you know how I'm an owner of the Packers?
I've heard of you mentioned, yeah.
Did you know that you can be an owner of the Timber Rattlers?
You can.
Yeah, you can buy shares in the Timber Rattlers for $50 with an annual renewal fee of $25. You then get a vote every year at their annual meeting. You also get a personalized and numbered membership certificate. You can vote on the board of directors. You can purchase exclusive team owner merchandise. You get two tickets to opening day. You get 15% store discount, and you get to go to a picnic at the end of the season.
So you can actually, you actually have some role in the team if you buy a $50 stock.
I've got role in the Packers.
Okay.
I vote for the board of directors.
All right, so you do?
Yeah, there's always like 20 people up for 21 spots, but I vote.
Okay, all right.
I send my little piece of paper in.
But when Mark Murphy is trying to figure out his pillars in the organization, you have no say in it.
I mean, I help pay for the south end zone seats, so all the people that got off the waiting list,
all right,
you can thank me for that, because that's what I paid for. So good for me, right? Good for me?
Yeah, good, real good for you.
It's Chuck and Winkler. Keston Hira, demoted.
Our timing is off today.
Just as right there it was.
Yeah.
Chuck, ask me what the most important part of comedy is.
Timing.
Damn it.
We got that one right.
No, but you're supposed to just forget it. Keston Hira.
Yeah, now we're left. Bill Michael Stenders.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.